Hello everyone, welcome back to our podcast Constitution Insider, where we are trying to study the Constitution of India and how it has influenced our life and how it is the thing that does influence our life in our day-to-day manners. It is a document by which the country is run. It is a document by which in some part our life is run. So it is a very important document of which we must all know a little bit of. Well, in the last part, I had talked about part 1, that is the Union and its Territory. That part contains articles 1, 2, 3 and 4, which highlights what India is in the terms of geopolitical sense. It defines the boundary of India. It defines what India is as a union of state, it says. What does union of state means and all that. It talks about how a state becomes a state, how is it a piece of land described as a state or a union territory, or how can a union territory become a state and all that. So it talks a lot on those issues, and hopefully I hope you all have referred to that previous podcast. Assuming that you all have did, I would like to continue, and this podcast is part 2, which contains articles 5 till 11, which highlights the matters regarding citizenship, which is really important. Like, how can you say that you are an Indian? It talks about the legality of it. We talk about, you know, we are Indians by our culture, by our traditions, but this world is not just run by cultures and traditions. There are laws. So in a legal sense, how can you be a citizen of India is what part 2 talks about. So without further ado, we will jump straight right into it. Alright, so let us go to the first article in part 2, that is article 5. Citizenship at the commencement of the Constitution. The Constitution came into force on 26 January 1950. So from then on, any person born in India is known as a citizen of India, and this is a law which proves that you are. Alright, at the commencement of this Constitution, every person who has his domicile, well, they are saying that they are the place of residence. But then again, we are born somewhere, and you know, where we are born is our domicile in a sense, right? So the Article 5 says that if your domicile in India, then you automatically become a citizen of India under 3 sub-clauses. Clause A, who was born in the territory of India, meaning you just need not live here. If you are born here, then of course you are a citizen of India, and this concerns about all those matter after January 26, 1950, that is after the day the Constitution came into force. Clause B, either of whose parents was born in the territory of India, even if your parent were born in India, you are still considered an Indian. And part C, who has been ordinarily resident in the territory of India for not less than 5 years immediately preceding such commencement shall be a citizen of India. So this talks about, you know, the partition that happened in 1947, people were displaced. Now who do you call a citizen of India? Well, this describes that 5 years before the commencement, that is before 5 years before January 26, 1950, if he has been residing in the territory of India, alright, at that time undivided India, and which is presently India as per the partition plan that was put forward, if you have been living there 5 years before the Constitution was put into effect, at least 5 years, I believe, for not less than 5 years, yes, at least 5 years, more than that. So if you have been living there for at least 5 years, then you become a citizen of India. If you do not fall under clause C, you obviously fall under clause B, because your parents would have lived more than 5 years before the commencement of the Constitution, so you automatically become a citizen of India. Alright? Okay. Well, these following few articles talks about how you are a citizen of India if you have migrated from Pakistan or you are from foreign countries. Well, as you know, in 1947, along with we getting independence, our constitution, our land was also divided, because the plan was that Hindu dominated India and Muslim dominated Pakistan would be brought about from partitioning the land, and from then onwards we would be governed by a supreme document, which is now our constitution. But at that time, many people who now consider themselves residents of India or citizens of India were not living in India at the time. They were living in Pakistan, and when partition occurred, they did not know the demarcation, like which areas would be partitioned. So once they came to know of that, they started migrating. So Article 6 and Article 7 of the Constitution talks about to those people who migrated from Pakistan and how they are a citizen of India. Alright, so what does Article 6 say? Rights of citizenship of certain persons who have migrated to India from Pakistan. Okay, so that's the title. So let's get into it. Notwithstanding anything in Article 5, so the Article 5 is still there. It is not eradicated. When we come to Article 6, it is still in effect. Article 5, a person who has migrated to the territory of India from territory now included to be Pakistan shall be deemed to be a citizen of India from the commencement of the constitution if, again we come to the clauses, clause A, he or either of his parents or any of his grandparents was born in India as defined in the Government of India Act 1935. So you know the Government of India Act 1935 was a precursor to the Constitution of India. So it was a document by which the country was run, and under that act India was defined as this territory, which was in United Pakistan, India and Bangladesh, and part of Burma also, but Burma was given a separate constitution later on. So under those act, if you are defined to be a citizen of India and you have migrated from Pakistan to now India, then you are considered to be the citizen of India as per the commencement of the constitution from January 26th, 1950. Okay. Clause B, in that subclause 1, in the case where such a person has so migrated before the 19th of July 1948, he has been ordinarily resident in the territory of India since the date of his migration. Alright, what this talks about is he is living in the territory that was designated as Indian territory as per the Government of India Act 1935, but now he has migrated, and if he has migrated before the said date, that is 19 July 1948, he is a citizen of India. In the case that he has migrated after 1948 is what the second part in clause B talks about. In case where such a person has so migrated on or after the 19th day of July 1948, he has been registered as a citizen of India by an officer appointed in behalf of the government or the Dominion of India. So if you are migrated after the said date, then the officer who has the constitutional authority, well, not technically, it more likely a governmental authority, will register you as a citizen of India. Okay. So he will be a citizen of India, provided that no person shall be registered unless he has been a resident in the territory of India for at least 6 months immediately preceding the date of his application. So if he has migrated after 1948, he should have lived in India for 6 months, and then he should have applied for registration under that, or else he would have done an easier job of migrating before the said date. But bear in mind, it was a real tumultuous time, you know, many people have died trying to migrate, so a fact that we must all be aware of. We'll talk about Article 7. Rights of citizenship of certain migrants to Pakistan. So it's not only that people from Pakistan migrated to India, but people from India also migrated to Pakistan. Notwithstanding anything in Articles 5 and 6, not contradicting anything in Articles 5 and 6, a person who has after the first day of March, 1st of March 1947, migrated from the territory of India to the territory now included in Pakistan shall not be deemed a citizen of India. A very important point. So once you have migrated to Pakistan, then you are no longer a citizen of India. You are a citizen of Pakistan, but I do not know the way how they define their citizen, which is under the Pakistani constitution, which I am not talking about today. Well, but what the Indian constitution says that once you have left India, you are no longer a citizen of India. Providing that nothing in this article shall apply to a person who, after having so migrated to the territory now included in Pakistan, has returned to the territory of India under a permit for resettlement of permanent return issued by or under the authority of any law, and ever such person shall, for the purpose of the clause B of Article 6, be deemed to have migrated to the territory of India after the 19th day of July 1948. A big paragraph, but can be broken down. Alright, so what it says is that it will not apply, the current article, Article 7, will not apply to a person who has gone to Pakistan but then has come back to India under the migration law. So if he has come after the set date in Article 6, which was 19th of July 1948, or before 19th of July 1948. So if such a case is there, then Article 6 will apply and not Article 7. Okay, so that was Article 6 and Article 7 were brought in to address the issue of partition. Now it is fairly redundant because most of the people in India have living in India, so there's no problem regarding that. Okay, the next part will be Article 8, which is rights of citizenship of certain persons of Indian origin residing outside India. So what we know as NRIs, right? So that is what this article talks about. So once again, it starts with the sentence, notwithstanding anything in Article 5, so provisions of Article 5 still remain. Any person who or either of whose parents or grandparents was born in India as defined, once again, the Government of India Act 1935, and who is ordinarily residing in any country outside India so as so defined shall be deemed to be a citizen of India if he has been registered as a citizen of India by the diplomatic or consular representative of India in that country where he is residing, on an application made by him thereof to such diplomatic or consular representative, where, whether before or after the commencement of this constitution, in the form and manner prescribed by the Government and Dominion of India or the Government of India. What it just says that when the constitution was commenced, if a person of Indian origin who wants to be an Indian citizen was living outside, then he has to do an application form. That's all. Okay, you have to apply in the consular office or the diplomatic outpost that has been set up in that country. You have to apply through that. But or you can just come back to India and deem yourself to be a citizen of India. But if you have long-term plans of staying in an outside country but still want to be a citizen of India, this is a procedure you have to do. It's just like filling an application form and waiting for you to be registered as a citizen of India. Okay, too many words, little meaning, but very important meaning at that. Okay, so Article 9, persons voluntarily acquiring citizenship of a foreign state shall not be citizens. So this highlights a stance that India has taken, that is, every Indian has access to only a single citizenship. He cannot be a citizen of two countries at the same time. So there are two types of citizenships, that is, single citizenship and dual citizenship. Single citizenship states that you can be a citizen of only a single country at a given time, whereas dual, as the name suggests, means that you can be citizens of two countries at a given time. India follows that there can be only one citizen, and that is the citizen of India and no other country. And if he has taken the citizenship of any other country, that means he has voluntarily declined or has relinquished the right to be a citizen of India. No person shall be a citizen of India by virtue of Article 5. Once again, coming back to Article 5, that is the governing documents, and others are just variations of that. Or be deemed to be a citizen of India by virtue of Article 6 or Article 8 if he has voluntarily acquired the citizenship of any other foreign state, meaning any foreign country. If he has done so, then he has voluntarily given up his Indian citizenship, and that is what Article 9 says. It is a fact that cannot be refuted. If you have taken a citizenship of any other country, then you have automatically given up your Indian citizenship. That is what the article says. Alright? Okay. Article 10. Continuance of rights of citizenship. Every person who is or is deemed to be a citizen of India under any of the foregoing provisions of this part shall, subject to the provisions of any law that may be made by the Parliament, continue to be such citizen. So, if he is a citizen of India, then he shall be subjected to the laws made by the Parliament of India. And there is no two ways around that. If you are a citizen of India, you will follow our laws. If you are not a citizen of India, you need not follow our laws, but you should follow our laws because that is what defines us. There is a supreme governing body, that is the constitution, and India, as is defined in part 1, the union and its territory, and any foreign person also living or for the sake traveling in such territory that belongs to India must adhere to the laws given out by the Parliament. Alright? This talks about the Indian citizen. Parliament to regulate the right of citizenship by law. Nothing in the foregoing provisions of this part shall derogate from power of Parliament to make any provision with respect to the acquisition and termination of citizenship and all other matters relating to citizenship. What it means is that the Parliament in this case is the supreme authority on deciding who is and who is not a citizen of India. But they are bound to act upon the provisions provided by the Constitution. Once again, the Constitution is the supreme authority. Parliament acts under the direction of the Constitution. And that is what Article 11 says. So Parliament has a right to regulate the citizenship. And it can be regulated by introducing a legislature, introducing a new law, and any other such things. Alright? With that, we have finished part 2, which is the fact about citizenship. In part 3, which is the most important one, that is the fundamental rights, we will be talking about what are the fundamental rights given to Indians. So hopefully you guys will be tuned in to that episode. So until then, as I was saying, my motto, never stop learning, never stop exploring. With saying that motto, I would like to conclude. Thank you.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.